This is the day you've been waiting for. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and you know just what you want to do.
All you want to do is ride around Saturday.
Ride, Saturday.
I hope you have had a chance to watch our television show, The Horse Show with Rick Lamb, on RFD-TV. Hi, everybody. Rick Lamb here for The Horse Show radio program. Now, the reason I bring up TV right off the bat is that we recently had a guest on there, Julie Goodnight, who talked about a subject that is difficult to talk about. It's almost taboo because people are so emotional about it. And that is when you have the wrong horse, when it's a mismatch, and it's best to get rid of the horse, to put the horse in a new home, to get a horse that's more appropriate for you. The reason that this is a difficult topic is that people become so emotionally attached to their horses, and they feel such a sense of failure about, quote-unquote, giving up on a horse. And consequently, they have a miserable life. They never get to enjoy having the right horse and being able to do the things that they wanted to do with a horse. Anyway, this particular television show so resonated with my viewing public that I've asked Julie to come back on radio and talk about another very important subject that she is just dead on about, and that is ground manners. So many people have horses that are disrespectful and misbehave on the ground, to say nothing of what happens under saddle, but, you know, it all starts on the ground. And this is often one of the ways that this mismatch that we were talking about expresses itself. But the good news is that you can teach a horse to have good ground manners, so you can correct a lot of that. Julie's going to go over it today. This was The Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72 from the Northwest Horse Fair and Expo in Albany, Oregon. Now, to see my expos for the remainder of this year and next year, go to thehorseshow.com, click that calendar button. I'm Rick Lamb. This is The Horse Show, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
The safety and comfort of your equine companions is your top priority. At Morton Buildings, it's ours too. Along with providing a dependable and stylish horse barn, riding arena, or storage building for you and your horses. If you've been thinking about a new building, contact your local Morton Buildings sales consultant today to get started. For over 20 years, we've provided custom equestrian buildings to meet a variety of needs. Visit our website at mortonbuildings.com to learn more or follow us on Facebook.
Studies have shown that the higher the body temperature, the quicker an athlete reaches fatigue. That's why pro football players use protective padding that's not only shock-absorbing, but lightweight and breathable to allow heat dissipation. Now the same technology is available for your horse. Professionals Choice Air Ride saddle pads are designed with exactly the same material, which allows your horse to remain cool and performing at its maximum while effectively deflecting shock. Try the Air Ride today. Go to profchoice.com and click Rick Lamb.
That's music to my ears. Hi, I'm Pat Pirelli.
And I'm Linda Pirelli. If you love everything about horses, the way they look, the way they sound, even the way they smell, well, you're among friends at RFD-TV.
RFD-TV has the most horse programs of any network on television, every day, all year long.
Take Pirelli Natural Horsemanship, for example. Each week, you'll learn how you and your horse can become recreation for each other, how training can be shaped to the personality or horsenality of your horse,
and how you can reach your horsemanship goals.
RFD-TV brings you family-friendly programming that educates, entertains, and inspires. It's TV we can all be proud of.
And it's available on satellite and cable systems throughout the country. To learn more, visit rfdtv.com.
Or call 615-227-9292.
RFD-TV and Pirelli Natural Horsemanship.
We're teaming up to make life better for you and your horse.
For the past 11 years, I have been on an incredible journey. I have learned so much about horses, and I'd like to share that with you. I've written a new book called Human to Horseman, A Journey of Discovery, Growth, and Celebration. Now, in this book, I share my insights, the experiences I've had, the teachers that I've learned from. It's a great way to get started with natural horsemanship. $24.95 in hardcover, and I'll be happy to sign it for you. Human to Horseman. Order it at thehorseshow.com or by calling 877-THE-HORSE. If you spend a lot of time driving, I've got something you're going to love. The Horse Show To Go. It's a 70-minute commercial-free monthly audio CD with my best radio interviews and new content. It's everything you love about The Horse Show To Go. The cost is $8.95 a month, and you can cancel anytime, so there's no risk. And if you order today, I'll give you an extra month free. The Horse Show To Go. Visit thehorseshow.com or call 877-THE-HORSE.
And now, back to The Horse Show with Rick Lamb.
Welcome back, everybody. Coming to you today from the Northwest Horse Fair and Expo in Albany, Oregon. I am Rick Lamb. This is The Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72. And my guest for this segment of our program is Julie Goodnight. Julie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Rick.
We're going to talk today about, I think, a very, very important topic, and that is ground matters. First of all, how would you describe or define ground manners to somebody?
Well, ground manners have to do with handling the horse in hand. So once we've put a halter on the horse, or even before we get the halter on, has to do with how the horse responds to you, how he focuses on you. I expect a mannerly horse to stand still when I ask him to stand. That doesn't just mean stand approximately in the same place. It means do not move a foot unless I tell you to. I expect him to respect my space and my boundaries, to not move into his space with any part of his body, whether it's his nose or his feet or his tail. I expect him to follow me effortlessly when I lead him, to be in a very specific place that's neither in front of me nor too far behind me, but rather beside me so that he's moving with me as I move, just like your dance partner would. And I expect him to be focused on me at all times, looking for any signals that I might be sending him, and not be looking all around, wondering about the other horses and thinking about what he's going to do next, but rather be focused on me, very respectful of my space.
That sounds like a lot to ask for most horses. And I suspect that your horses behave like that. I imagine most of our horses don't. So what do we do? How do we help folks develop ground manners for their horses?
Well, first of all, it's a matter of awareness and consistency with horses. The way we train horses through natural horsemanship is by knowing and understanding the horse's natural behavior, and then using that information to train him in a way that he already understands. And guaranteed your horse wouldn't walk into his herd of horses and barge right up to the most dominant horse and bump into him and step on him and do all those kinds of things. He knows the dominant horse is in control of his space. He's respectful of that. He's always focused on the most dominant horse, where he is, what he's doing, and what he's thinking. If that dominant horse moves towards him, he will move out of the way. So he's going to always yield to the space of the more dominant horse. Surprisingly, it's not that hard. It doesn't take that long. Anyone who is a confident and competent hand with a horse can instill ground manners in him in just a matter of minutes, because he already knows how to follow rules in the herd. And he knows that if he barges into the space of a more dominant horse, he's going to get in trouble for it.
There's going to be negative consequences.
Absolutely.
To that behavior. How do we establish negative consequences for the horse, and how, what form do they take?
Well, establishing dominance, and dominance, I realize, is a negative term to many people. To many people, dominance means has a violent connotation to it. But dominance just simply means in control of. And there's two ways that horses establish dominance in the herd. Number one, the dominant horses in the herd always control the resources of the herd. So the resources are food, water, shelter, shade, whatever the herd values is a resource, and the dominant horse always controls that. Factor number two, and the one that gets us in the most trouble with horses, is that the dominant horse always controls the space of the subordinate horse. And so while horses are very, very aware of spatial issues at all times, we humans tend not to be aware of spatial issues. And so what happens is our horse makes a little infraction. He moves into your space just a little bit, or maybe he bumps into you, or maybe he turns around and puts his nose on you. And we're busy paying attention to something else, talking to somebody, so we don't notice that the horse made an infraction. But he notices it because he's very aware of spatial issues all the time. And so once he's allowed to move into your space without getting any consequences, He's going to do it again and again, and he's going to become more and more dominant. So the negative consequences are simply judiciously moving him out of your space. By backing him up, I call it hissing and spitting at a horse, kind of an aggressive sound, stomp your feet, snap your rope, back him up hard. But the main thing is consistency. So if every time my horse moves into my space in any way, and I'm not talking about just taking a step towards me, I'm talking about even moving his nose towards me. If I don't correct it and move that nose back out of my space, then he's going to take that as a license to do more and more. So it's just simply controlling them, their space, backing them out of your space. And you just have to apply enough pressure that gets the right reaction from the horse. And that's another thing that people don't always understand about horses, is how much pressure it takes is whatever pressure it takes to get the reaction you need. And for every horse, that amount of pressure is going to be different. So you have to find the amount of pressure that motivates the horse to change. And for a very sensitive horse, that might not be very much pressure at all. I might just turn around and look at him, and he backs out of my space. But for a rude horse or a less sensitive horse, I might actually have to hiss and spit, snap that rope, stomp my feet, maybe even pop him with the rope a couple of times. Whatever pressure it takes is the amount of pressure I need to apply.
And Chance, I would suspect that the next time that becomes necessary, a little less pressure is probably going to be, as long as you're consistent in the way you apply it, they'll become responsive with lesser and lesser.
Absolutely. Pretty soon all you got to do is point a finger at them.
Which is, of course, what you obviously would want out of it. Mm-hmm. The thing about the awareness of body language with people, I actually think that people are a little bit more aware of body language maybe than they think they are, in that if you go, for instance, to a party, a social situation, and somebody that you haven't met before comes up to you and introduces himself, and they stand a little bit too close, that's a body language thing, but you definitely are aware of it. You're aware if somebody is interested in what you're saying to them, or if they're, you know, looking around and acting bored, looking at their watch or something like that. They could give you signs in a nonverbal way how they feel about you and what their intentions are. And by the same token, it could be a very positive thing. You can tell when somebody is flirting with you, for instance, that they're interested in you. That's body language. So I think part of it becomes you become consciously aware of what certain signals mean, and you don't have to operate always on the subconscious level. With horses, I think a lot of people don't realize that the horse just kind of swinging his head into your space is really kind of a test as to whether you'll tolerate that. It's a bit of body language that is a little bit on the dominant side. So I think sometimes they don't know that I shouldn't really be allowing that. And the other thing I would add to what you just said is it's the same thing as with kids. Sometimes it's just work to stop and take care of a kid that's misbehaving. And the same thing is true with horses. You know, you have a plan, you want to get something done. Oh, gosh, I don't want to have to stop and school my horse a little bit. So a lot of people take the easy way out.
Yeah, and it's not really that hard, and it's not that time-consuming. If you put a little time in up front on the groundwork, just like you were saying a minute ago, if I give him one or two harsh corrections, from then on I can use light corrections because he knows I'm willing to follow it up with a harsh correction. But if I spend 10 or 15 minutes a day for a week working my horse on ground manners, then every time I lead him from the stall to the arena or wherever, going from point A to point B, I've got a training opportunity, but all I have to do is kind of remind him of what his manners are. But the problem is, you're absolutely right, if we're not aware of it and the horse makes these little infractions, the point is he's aware of the infractions he made and he knows he is degrading your authority.
My guest is Julie Goodnight. We're talking about ground manners in horses. When we get back, how horses communicate with their voices. I'm Rick Lamb. This is The Horse Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Fact of the matter is, nailed-on metal horseshoes are a tradition, and a lot of horses simply don't need them. Hey everybody, Rick Lamb here. Here's what I suggest. If you like the idea of barefooting your horse, go ahead and try it. But also do this. Get yourself some good all-purpose hoof boots to protect your horse's bare feet when you ride. I recommend the Simple Boot from Cavallo. Simple boots are exactly what the name implies. They're uncomplicated, easy to use, lightweight, durable. When you put them on, they stay on. With Simple Boots on your horse, you can walk, trot, canter, jump, go through water, go through mud. Whatever you're doing, the Simple Boot stays on and your horse stays comfortable. Remember, there are different stresses on your horse's bare feet when you ride him. Hoof boots are an essential part of the barefooting protocol. See the Cavallo Simple Boot in action and learn how to choose the right size at simpleboot.com. You'll also see the five very attractive colors available, starting at just $99.95 with free shipping. The Simple Boot from Cavallo, simpleboot.com. Hey everybody, Rick Lamb here. For me, Travel In Corrals makes the best portable corral system on the market, and here's why. First, the panels are easy to handle. They're 7 feet long and just 15 pounds. Anyone can set up a Travel In Corral. 6 panels make a 13-foot round pin, 8 panels make an 18-foot round pin. Second reason I'm crazy about Travel In Corrals is how these metal panels are made. They're notched and welded, and they hook together with a 4-foot steel rod. They're horse safe, thoroughly tested, and they come with a lifetime guarantee for the original owner. But hey, don't take my word for it. See for yourself. Watch an introductory video at travelincorrals.com. That's travel, the letter N, corrals.com. You'll get the backstory on the horse people behind these highly practical portable corral panels. And if you mention me, Rick Lamb, you'll save $50 if you order. Remember, 7 feet long, 15 pounds, and a lifetime guarantee. Check them out. Travel In Corrals. Travel, the letter N, corrals.com. Welcome back to the Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72 from the Northwest Horse Fair and Expo. I'm Rick Lamb, and I'm talking to Julie Goodnight.
95% of a horse's communication with another horse is through body language, through nonverbal or non-audible communication. The horse does have 4 audible communications, and they all have very specific meanings. But most of what they do is through gestures.
Okay, you got to tell the 4.
And the first one is the knicker, and it goes, okay? And the knicker means come to me. And it's considered a reproductive behavior, and it is most often heard between a mare and her foal, or between a stallion and a mare. And in the case of between the stallion and the mare, it usually means, ooh, look at me, aren't I pretty? Give me your attention. When the mare, or you, and it doesn't have to be a mare and a foal, any horses will knicker to each other.
And you know, I get that in the morning, and it means come to me with the food.
Come to me and bring me the food. And I like to remind people of that when it comes to the hand feeding of treats to horses, because if every time you walk into the barn, you give your horse a treat, in very short order, every time you come, the horse will be going, and we have this tendency to think, oh, my horse loves me, that's so sweet. What he's saying is, come to me and give me the food, and which I might point out means that your horse is in control of you, okay? If he's summoning you across the room and then making you give him the food, remember the dominant horse controls the resources. So anytime the horse comes to believe he's taking away food from you, that's also a very dominant behavior. But the next audible communication a horse makes is the whinny, and the whinny is a high-pitched sound, and that means either where are my friends? Or is anyone out there willing to be my friend? And so the functionality of that in the wild is when a young colt gets driven away from the broodmare band that he was born in, when he becomes breeding age, usually the stallion will drive him away. And he cannot live on his own, so he has to hook up with a bachelor herd. And so he'll just wander off, and he'll whinny until somebody answers him, and then he'll go to that call, and he'll hook up with that new herd. So that's a social call. That's a searching call. And then the next one is the squeal, and I'm sure you've all heard that one. The squeal is a communication that means I am about to become aggressive. And so it basically means I'm about to kick your hiney. Mm-hmm. And when you most often hear the squeal is when two strange horses greet each other. They come nostril to nostril. They smell each other's breath. Then they go nostril to genitals and smell each other's genitals. And by the way, while I'm a big believer in natural horsemanship, to me that's crossing the line. Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And then at that point, you may or may not hear a squeal. And if you hear a squeal, that means the horse is thinking about becoming aggressive. It is often just a bluff. But we don't really know that in advance. So when you hear horses squealing, they're generally thinking about starting to fight. And then the final audible communication that the horse makes is called a snort. Not to be confused with a sneeze. That goes, okay, that's just a sneeze. It's when he blows real hard out his nostrils. And he can actually, he can do something with his nostrils to make it rattle And so sometimes you hear a rattly sound when he snorts, or sometimes it's just a blow. And so sometimes it's just called a blow. But both of those mean that there's something threatening in the environment. And so it is a warning to other horses that there's something threatening in the environment. So the squeal or the snort, you want to be careful when you're around horses when you hear that, because in the case of the snort, that's a horse that's feeling threatened in some way. And it may be that the threat is you, it may be that it's something else, but if he's feeling threatened, he may act on that by bolting or whatever. And of course, in the case of horses squealing, they're thinking about becoming aggressive. And so we need to teach our horses, and this is a very, very important ground manner. Our horses need to learn from very early on in their lives that when humans are around, they are not allowed to display herd behaviors. They are not allowed to fraternize.
That is a great point, and I'll just add this to that. It's kind of like there's a double standard with horses, I think. With my horses, anyway, I say, whatever you do, whatever happens in the pasture stays in the pasture. You know, that's up to you. That's your life. That's fine. I'm not going to try and micromanage you. I couldn't do it anyway, but I'm not even going to worry about it. Rules change when you're with me. We have a completely different set of rules. And they
Absolutely.
Have to learn that. And that's
Absolutely.
Basically what we're talking about here.
And it's not really a double standard if you think about it in this way. When they're in the pasture, they're in one herd. But when they come out of the pasture, they're in your herd, and they have to follow your rules. But we all need to teach our horses, especially if you ride in groups or go to clinics or do anything when your horse is around other horses. Once your horse is haltered or bridled or saddled, he needs to know he is absolutely not allowed to fraternize with other horses, and he is not allowed to display herd behaviors. And horses are really good at following rules when rules are clearly defined and consistently enforced. And so don't let your horse go up to another horse and sniff noses, because what might come next is aggression, and the human might get hurt in the course of that.
Are you basically saying they should kind of just ignore other horses when...
Absolutely.
Okay.
They can't look at them. They certainly can't move towards them. Now, you're always going to have a situation if you're riding in a group where somebody's tailgating or passing you too close. If my horse flicks his ears back in that situation, I'm not going to do anything about it. But if he makes a move on that, if he moves to bite that horse or he moves to kick the horse, I need to punish him and swiftly and harshly, because he needs to learn that's not allowed. And the person you're riding with needs to be told, hey, because of what you just did, I had to spank my horse, and that's not fair to my horse. But people need to learn that, number one. So we all need to know that's important etiquette. Don't let your horses interact with other horses in the group setting. And the horses need to be corrected for it. And they're very capable of learning that distinction.
You know, one of the things I find with folks, and it's natural for humans, which is why we have to learn this thing called horsemanship, is they become so attached to their horses, they have such an emotional bond with their horses, that they don't like to do anything that they perceive is taking away the enjoyment for the horse, or that makes the horse uncomfortable, or denies something that the horse wants to do. It's like a parent that's overly permissive with a child. It's kind of ill-placed love in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you get the point across to people who just say, well, but he likes it?
I think you have to educate people that horses are not humans, and horses live by a whole different set of standards and a different set of rules than we do. And in the horse herd, there is a hierarchy. The horses all understand that. And if they want to be a part of the herd, they have to play by the rules.
Still to come, why you shouldn't treat a horse like a dog. Julie Goodnight is my guest. This is The Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72 from the Northwest Horse Fair and Expo. I'm Rick Lamb. Don't you dare go away. Hey, everybody, Rick Lamb here. For me, Travel In Corrals makes the best portable corral system on the market, and here's why. First, the panels are easy to handle. They're 7 feet long and just 15 pounds. Anyone can set up a travel-in corral. 6 panels make a 13-foot round pen. 8 panels make an 18-foot round pen. Second reason I'm crazy about travel-in corrals is how these metal panels are made. They're notched and welded, and they hook together with a 4-foot steel rod. They're horse safe, thoroughly tested, and they come with a lifetime guarantee for the original owner. But hey, don't take my word for it. See for yourself. Watch an introductory video at travelincorrals.com. That's travel, the letter N, corrals.com. You'll get the backstory on the horse people behind these highly practical portable corral panels. And if you mention me, Rick Lamb, you'll save $50 if you order. Remember, 7 feet long, 15 pounds, and a lifetime guarantee. Check them out. Travel in Corrals. Travel, the letter N, corrals.com. Fact of the matter is, nailed-on metal horseshoes are a tradition, and a lot of horses simply don't need them. Hey everybody, Rick Lamb here. Here's what I suggest. If you like the idea of barefooting your horse, go ahead and try it. But also do this. Get yourself some good all-purpose hoof boots to protect your horse's bare feet when you ride. I recommend the Simple Boot from Cavallo. Simple boots are exactly what the name implies. They're uncomplicated, easy to use, lightweight, durable. When you put them on, they stay on. With Simple Boots on your horse, you can walk, trot, canter, jump, go through water, go through mud. Whatever you're doing, the Simple Boot stays on and your horse stays comfortable. Remember, there are different stresses on your horse's bare feet when you ride him. Hoof boots are an essential part of the barefooting protocol. See the Cavallo Simple Boot in action and learn how to choose the right size at simpleboot.com. You'll also see the 5 very attractive colors available, starting at just $99.95 with free shipping. The Simple Boot from Cavallo, simpleboot.com.
Is your car a time bomb just waiting to go off? Can you afford an unexpected $2,000 or $5,000 repair? With today's cars, even the smallest problems can cost hundreds of dollars just to diagnose and much more to repair. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, American Auto Protection can provide you with an extended service plan that covers major components, including computers and electronics. So when your car does break down, we pay for your towing and rental car, and we pay the dealer or mechanic directly for you. No hassling with reimbursements. We don't have the overhead of a dealership, so we can sell you the same plans your dealer offers for a lot less. Save money. Go direct with American Auto Protection. Protect yourself before it's too late. Call 800-590-6470 now and you can be protected in just 15 minutes or less with just a call. If your car has less than 130,000 miles, call 800-590-6470 now. That's 800-590-6470. 800-590-6470.
Thank you for listening to The Horse Show with Rick Lamb. If you have a question, request, or comment, we want to hear from you. Our fax number is area code 602-279-0980. Or if you would like to email us, the address is lambemail@aol.com. Now, back to Rick.
Thank you, Woodman. We're back, everybody, with Julie Goodnight talking about ground manners for horses, a very, very important topic. Julie, go right ahead.
The other thing horses are not is dogs, okay? Mm-hmm. They're not puppies. They're not pets. They don't need to be petted on and rubbed on and indulged like a dog is. And, you know, I was thinking about this just a minute ago when we were talking about the invasion of space, but I'm sure you've all been around dogs that come up to you. You're just be sitting there minding your own business, and this dog comes up and flops your elbow. And what do? You reach over and you start petting him, okay?
You reward him.
Yeah, and so that's a rude behavior of a dog, yeah. And he's controlling your actions. Well, when a 50-pound dog does that, it's no big deal. But when a 1,000-pound horse walks up to you and headbutts you because he wants you to scratch him, that's a pretty big deal. So there's a danger level that's different there. But also, I think it's really important to make people aware of what horses want the most is comfort and security. And the security comes through knowing that you're the one in charge, and you are only in charge if you control the horse's actions, if you discipline him when he needs it, leave him alone when he doesn't. And horses will come to worship the ground that you walk on if you provide strong leadership for them. If you're constantly coddling them and getting in their face and kissing on their muzzle, and so you don't set boundaries with the horse, you don't define your space, and then the horse becomes progressively more dominant over you until he totally loses all respect for you, and then he starts becoming aggressive towards you because he has so much disdain for you. And the way to get the ultimate relationship with the horse is through leadership and through structure and through discipline, by setting rules, expecting the horse to follow the rules, correcting him when he doesn't, praising him when he does, And the next thing you know, you have the horse that we call the horse that's hooked on to you, or however you want to call it, joined up, because he accepts you as his leader and he looks up to you. He wants to be with you always because he feels safe and comfortable in your presence.
You know, there's another way, too, to look at that interaction there, and that is if you start with the assumption that every horse has to have, if he's with other creatures, whether it's a human or other members of your herd, has to know who's the leader. That's kind of like wired into them, hardwired into them. They have to know who's the leader in this group. And their most horses, even fairly dominant horses by nature, are perfectly willing to yield leadership to a more dominant creature, whether it's a human or another horse. By the same token, if they see no leadership being demonstrated by that other creature, they will step forward to assume leadership, not because they necessarily want to, or it's in them to be a leader, you know, a natural leader, but simply because they have to have a leader.
There has to be a leader.
So that's exactly what happens. Mm-hmm. If you are not exhibiting the kind of leadership they think is necessary to keep them safe, by default, they have to step in and assume it.
Absolutely. There is never a void of leadership in the horse herd. If the leader of the herd is struck dead from lightning right now, immediately another horse will step in and take over as leader, because there has to be a leader. And so anytime we fall down on our leadership ability, the horse begins to take over.
Yeah, I want to ask you one question and have you think about it just a little bit. What do you feel is the biggest mistake that most people make with regard to ground manners? And just think about that for a little bit. We'll come back to that at the end. Do you think that disrespectful horses are born or made? Are there some that just when they come out of the chute, they just have a propensity to be disrespectful? Or is that something they always learn from contact with humans?
I think it's both. I think horses hit the ground with a given temperament. And I think disrespect has to be learned, but the temperament of I am the boss and I'm the most important thing on the face of the universe, and the feistiness, the leadership skills, I think that to an extent that is born in a horse. But as far as disrespect goes, I think that has to be learned behavior. So the horse has to learn, especially when it comes to humans, that he can get away with pushing you around. And if you have been around older horses that have been handled well throughout their whole lives, they've been well-trained, well-handled, they've been since they were babies, they've followed good rules and have good manners. By the time those horses reach 10 or 12 years old, they wouldn't even think of disrespecting a human. It would never occur to them. And any human can handle that horse, and the horse will remain respectful and obedient. But the horse that has learned that there are some humans he can push around and some he can't, that's information we can never unlearn from a horse. Once he learns there's a difference between humans, mm-hmm. and some of them can be pushed around and some of them can't, then he's always going to be testing the waters and pushing his boundaries just a little bit.
And that is the horse that sort of rises or falls to the level of the handler in terms of his behavior.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you also about ground tying, because that seems to be kind of a thing that happens that kind of puts the horse in both worlds. He's kind of by himself because you've left him alone. You're not touching him anymore. But he's still, you want him to be under your control. How do you teach a horse to ground tie?
Well, that's actually one of my favorite things to teach horses. And I start with that. That's one of the very first things I teach horses in terms of ground manners.
We should describe what we mean by that. And what I mean by ground tying is just dropping the reins or the lead rope so that they're touching the ground, and it's almost like they were tied to the ground. The horse stands there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
He stands still like a statue and does not move. You can move all around him. You can walk away from him. My husband and I compete in versatility ranch horses, and our horses are required in competition to ground tie. So we work on it for that reason. And sometimes it's very tricky, because sometimes they'll put you on a grassy field and you have to ground tie.
Oh,
and
temptation.
If your horse even reaches down and eats grass, you're marked down for it. So it's very tricky. Often you have to unbridle the horse, walk away from him, walk around a cone, walk all the way around. Sometimes you have to pick up all 4 feet and do that sort of thing. But even if it's not a competition horse, we work very very hard on ground tying, because the first part of that is teaching the horse to stand dead still like a statue when you tell him to. And first of all, how do you tell the horse to stand still? And that's pretty simple. When I turn and face the horse, that means stand still. Okay, so if I want you to go somewhere, I'm going to turn around and face the direction that we're going to go, and then we're going to go there. But when I turn and face the horse and my toes are pointed towards the horse's shoulder, that means don't move. And so what I'm going to do with a rope halter and a long lead, at least a 12-foot lead, maybe a 15-foot lead if you need it, I'm going to stand well back from the horse. Another problem that, getting back to the biggest mistake people make, is they stand too close to the horse, so the horse doesn't have an understanding of where your space begins and ends. So I'm going to stand well off from the horse with the slack rope in my hand, and I'm going to tell him whoa, and my toes are pointed towards his shoulder, and then I'm just going to watch him, and at any point that he moves a foot, I'm going to snap that rope, and I'm going to snap it by sending a wave of rope towards the horse so that the rope comes up and it actually pops the horse in the chin, and it'll make him want to step back just a little bit. So instead of a lot of times when I say snap the rope, people have a tendency to jerk the rope towards them, and that's going to make the horse want to move towards you. So we actually want the horse to move away if he's going to move anywhere. So I'm going to snap the rope, send a wave through the rope so it bops him in the chin, and then I'm going to tell him whoa. And if he keeps moving, I'm going to keep snapping the rope until he stops. But what he's going to learn, and then we're going to go back to whoa, and he's going to be standing. But what he's going to learn is that every time he moves a foot, I'm going to pop that rope and say, whoa. And so the way we train horses is called negative reinforcement, and that's a perfect example of it. We apply a negative stimuli, and then when the horse does the right thing, we take away the stimuli. So what he's going to learn is that as long as he stands still, he doesn't get in trouble, and he doesn't get a pop of the rope. So then pretty soon, once he's got that figured out, I'll have so much slack in my rope that the rope will actually be laying on the ground. And I'll have the end of it in my hand. But he's not quite smart enough to know I've got the end in my hand. When the rope is laying on the ground, he cannot feel a connection between me and the rope. The point you just made is make sure the rope is, or the reins is hanging straight down. I'll actually make sure that the rope is not angled away from the horse, but it's hanging straight down underneath the horse. And then the rope's laying on the ground, and then the end of it is in my hand. And so with the rope laying on the ground, there's no connection, but there's no perceived connection between the horse and me. So now he's standing there because he thinks I'm the boss of him, which is exactly what I want him to think. If he were to move, I can still pick up that rope and snap him with it. So then I'll start moving around the horse. At first, I'll be very careful to keep my toes pointed towards his shoulder, to only take one or two steps at a time. I'll remind him if he looks like he's thinking about moving, and you can see that real clearly in a horse. If he looks like he's thinking about moving, I'll say, whoa, you know, I won't snap the rope unless he actually moves, but I'll remind him to stand still. Basically, that's the process you're going to go to. I want to work at it, and this is not something you're going to accomplish in one session. You're going to work on it for 5 or 10 minutes every day. And I'll get to where I can lay the rope completely on the ground and walk all the way around him, pick up all 4 feet. And then I'll practice this skill. We practice it every day with our competition horses. We stand them in the middle of the arena and go do something. We take turns watching the horses. So as you get better and better at ground tying, you're going to be moving further and further away. And eventually you're going to move pretty far away from the horse, and he's going to make a mistake, but you're going to be too far away to correct him. And so what I want to do in that case is I'll start hissing and spitting at him. Hey, you quit that, you know. So I want to try to keep a connection going until I do get close enough to him to snap the rope. But primarily it's through that kind of practice and just teaching the horse and being very, very demanding of the horse. You can't let him move a little bit. It's all or nothing. So you do not move a foot unless I tell you to move it.
But does she ever give her horse positive reinforcement? In other words, reward him when he does something right? We'll find out when we continue with Julie Goodnight here on The Horse Show. I'm Rick Lamb. A whole lot more yet to come. Stay with us.
The Horse Show with Rick Lamb is a copyrighted production of Lamb Chop Studios, Phoenix, Arizona. Unauthorized use is strictly prohibited.
Horses need grain.
Not true. Research has shown that equine grain-associated disorders can be a threat to domestic horses. That's why Glow for Life feeds from ADM Alliance Nutrition go against the grain with premium low-starch, high-fat, high-fiber formulations to feed horses the way they're meant to eat, for life. For a limited time, get a free customized feeding plan for your horse at growstrong.com. That's growstrong.com.
When customers talk, Richie listens. And the Omni 10 automatic waterer has just what customers want. Extra size and strength, total heat coverage, large access panel, stainless steel trough, and Richie's famous fast refill valve. Like all Richie waterers, the Omni 10 is durable, reliable, and comes with a 10-year warranty. Learn more at richiefount.com. And relax, Richie waters them right.
Imagine a warehouse with everything for your horse. That's Jeffers Equine. Jeffers is the best equine catalog with more than 25,000 items, same-day free shipping, the happiest customers, and the lowest prices guaranteed. Save right now on Jeffers blended equine supplements from just $19.95. Call 1-800-JEFFERS or visit jefferseequine.com to get your free catalog. Equine specialists are standing by. Jeffers Equine, earning your trust right here in America since 1975.
Everyone who owns Red Brand Fence has a great story to tell. Maybe it's how Red Brand Fence protected your horses, or Grandpa's tale about the time he installed fence down on the farm, or perhaps you've got a picture of your horse next to Red Brand Fence that you want to share with the world. Whatever your story, Red Brand wants to hear about it. Receive a free, genuine Red Brand patch when you post your story and pictures at redbrand.com. Genuine Red Brand. Real life, real legends.
Studies have shown that the higher the body temperature, the quicker an athlete reaches fatigue. That's why pro football players use protective padding that's not only shock-absorbing, but lightweight and breathable to allow heat dissipation. Now the same technology is available for your horse. Professionals Choice Air Ride saddle pads are designed with exactly the same material, which allows your horse to remain cool and performing at its maximum while effectively deflecting shock. Try the Air Ride today. Go to profchoice.com and click Rick Lamb.
Every month, there's hands-on advice from the pros in Horse and Rider, the how-to magazine for Western riding. Call now and get 2 years for the price of one, just $24. 1-800-829-3340.
In March's Horse and Rider, you'll learn how to find the right riding instructor for your child, what's available in the way of virtual training on the internet, and the benefits of the Masterson method of touch therapy. Subscribe to Horse and Rider today and save. Call 1-800-829-3340. The wait is over. You can now get the audio version of Human to Horseman. 5 hours on four standard audio CDs, just $24.95. Visit thehorseshow.com to order.
The Horse Show with Rick Lamb is here every week at this time. So tell a friend.
We do appreciate your help, folks. From the Northwest Horse Fair and Expo in Albany, Oregon, this is The Horse Show Live, brought to you by Daily 72. And my guest is Julie Goodnight. We're talking about teaching a horse ground manners. Does he ever get a positive reward?
His positive reward is you leaving him alone.
Okay.
And he'll be happy for that. He'll learn to love ground tying, because he know when he's ground tied, you're not riding him, you're not asking anything of him. He'll just stand there and just check out. He'll totally zone out and go to sleep and just stand there. But that's his reward. When a horse does need praise, and you know, horses are just like humans, they work very well for praise. And when you do want to praise a horse, there's two really important things you can do the horse. The first and the most important is leave them alone. That's really what they want. Just leave me alone for a minute. And so I like to remind people that we put many different kinds of pressure on horses, but we put both physical and mental pressure on horses. And horses feel mental pressure just as keenly as they feel physical pressure. And sometimes you need to just back off a horse, turn around, turn your back to him, and leave him alone for a minute. Let him not have to think. Let him not have to worry. You can only take the mental pressure off a horse by turning your back to him and walking a few steps away and just let him chill out for a minute. If I want to really administer praise to my horse, then what I'm going to do is go up and rub him on the withers. That's where horses rub each other when they show affection. It's not in the face area, but just rub him, scratch him a little bit on the withers.
Do you think it helps to give them time? Some people call it soak time, or just time to kind of just think about the lesson, where you're not bugging them, you're not asking them to do anything more, but rather you just leave them alone and allow whatever just happened to soak in.
Absolutely, for several reasons. One is, whenever I get a good response from a horse, I want him to think on it. I want to just not going to ask anything of him for a few minutes. I'm going to turn around, turn my back on him if I can. Just let him think on that for a minute and let him realize that one thing I just did got me what I want most, which is to be left alone for a few minutes. And also, getting back to the pressure thing, horses don't have the intellectual capacities that we have to think about more than one thing at a time and to understand. You know, I can be sitting here talking to you and thinking about people walking by in the hallway or thinking about what's going on back in my booth. Horses don't have that capacity. And so when we are asking a lot of a horse to perform or to learn a new thing, or we're correcting him a lot, his little mind is just running 90 miles an hour. And so he needs that time just to relax his mind and not have to think for a minute, so that he can calm down, relax, and just go back to kind of that peaceful state. And then when you come back and ask something of him, he's a little bit better prepared for it. So if you're asking, being very demanding of a horse, they kind of get wound and wound and wound and wound. And yes, you need to occasionally just back off. If I'm riding a horse, I might come to the middle of the arena, just lay the reins down on his neck and start talking to somebody. Just leave him alone for a minute so he doesn't have to think for just a minute.
Well, that kind of is along the lines of the old thing that they don't learn from the pressure, they learn from the release, and this is another form of release.
Absolutely.
I asked you earlier to think about what you felt was the biggest mistake people make with regard to ground manners. And you alluded to it a little bit there, but what was that?
Well, I think the biggest mistake people make, first of all, I'll tell you the biggest mistake they make right up front is to think they're going to win the approval and the friendship of a horse through bribery and through hand-feeding treats or indulging the horse. And indulgence gets you absolutely nowhere with horses. And just like you mentioned, I often use the analogy of the spoiled child. Mm-hmm. And you've all been around these spoiled, rotten kids. And quit pointing at your daughter. We've all been around these spoiled, rotten kids. And there's a couple of things that I think are important to realize. First of all, the child is not happy. The child is miserable. They're demanding. They're always looking for something better. They're not a happy child. Secondly, nobody wants to be around those kids. Nobody likes them. Nobody wants to be around them. So that child has really been done a disservice because they don't like themselves, and nobody else likes them either. And it's the same thing with a horse. Nobody likes a spoiled and rude horse. And horses, like children, thrive off structure and discipline. So that's the biggest mistake, thinking that you're going to win the approval of a horse by bribing him or coddling him. Then the horse just becomes increasingly demanding and increasingly spoiled, rotten. And then the second thing is just not being aware of spatial issues. And I can't tell you how many times in clinics we've worked on ground manners in the morning, and we've sat there and we've worked on teaching your horse to stand, and we've worked on teaching him to lead well and do all these other things. And then I say, okay, session's over. I want you to go saddle your horses. And as they're walking out of the ring, the horse is headbutting them and, you know, dragging them around. And it's like they just, all that work was just for nothing.
You know, it's interesting because it's almost like people think that there's time off from training the horse. That's one of the things that it took me a while to kind of really understand, is that there are no days off in training a horse. Every interaction with the horse is a learning session for that horse, whether you think it is or not, whether you think, hey, today I'm going to train the horse, or whether you just say, hey, I'm just taking it easy, just enjoying being around my horse. It's still a learning session to the horse.
Absolutely. Every time you ride a horse or work with a horse at all, you're training it something. You're either training it or untraining it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a huge mistake people make. They think, well, that's a little thing. I'm not going to worry about that. But the little things always lead to the big things.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to ruin your day. I mean, it doesn't have to take any of the joy away from being around horses, because it's just a matter of developing good habits. I mean, after a while, you just no longer think about it, but you have good habits with the way you interact with your horse. And they're happier. You mentioned that they become happier and more well-adjusted and so forth. And that is another thing. It's exactly like kids. I have three grown kids, and when I had to discipline them when they were younger, it didn't happen too often, but invariably, they'd go through the period of being mad about it, but then they would be so much more relaxed and loving and affectionate. And it was like they really thrived on the idea of knowing where the boundaries were. It's kind of like they know they're not going to fall off the edge of the universe because you've created boundaries and you're going to protect them with the boundaries. And I think that's something that is analogous to horses. They like to know that you're there as a leader and you're going to protect them.
Absolutely. And I tell people all the time in my clinics, there's really only one conversation that you should ever have with a horse. And it goes like this. Horse, this is your captain speaking. And everything that follows is a direct order from me to you. And the horse's job is to be your first mate or your second in command, whatever, however you want to think of it. But his job is to follow through with your orders. And he should not question your decisions. He should not try to negotiate with you at all. And I always equate this to getting on an airplane. You get on an airplane, you don't want to hear the captain come over the microphone and go, ladies and gentlemen, if I can figure out how to start this thing, we're gonna I'll see if I can back it out of here. And I think maybe we might get there in about an hour and a half. You know, that's not reassuring to you sitting in the back of a plane. What you want to hear is, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. And right now we're on our way to New York City. I'm going to have you there in, you know, 69 minutes or whatever it is. You want to know that that person is in charge of the ship. And that's what a horse wants.
Julie, thank you so much for being with us. Her website, by the way, juliegoodnight.com, correct?
Yep, that's it.
And I want you to know, Julie is one of the most original and creative thinkers and best speakers in the horse industry. So I think we're very lucky to have her today.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you very much.
And there you have it, folks. Another great interview from another great expo, the Northwest Horse Fair and Expo in Albany, Oregon. We go back every year. They just keep inviting us back, and we keep saying, yes, we love that expo, and we love the good folks there. So you can check my website, the calendar page, and get the complete details on that, thehorseshow.com. Just click that calendar button. And we have such a great lineup of expos this coming year that, I mean, it's the most we have ever done. And let me tell you why this is so important to us. I talk about expos a lot. Expos, I think, are kind of like the grease for the horse industry that keeps this machine, I don't know if this analogy is going to work, this machine moving. Because this is a machine that thrives not only on education, not only on entertainment, but also on commerce. Things need to be bought and sold in order for this industry to stay alive. And an expo is a great place to get all this stuff. You can go, you can learn so much, you can have a great time with your family, and if you need to buy stuff, you can always get a great deal. There's always special pricing at horse expos. And of course, for us, we get virtually all of the content of our radio shows and a big part of our TV shows at Horse Expos. Great opportunity to network with other people, other presenters and clinicians and so forth. My friends, the people that I've come to count as my special friends, all of that happens at Horse Expos. So support your local expo is what I'm getting at. And you can see where we're going to be at our website, thehorseshow.com. Have fun, ride safely, and I'll see you next time. For The Horse Show, I'm Rick Lamb.